preaching. You know, anytime that you're tempted to miss service, that's usually when God really wants to move on your life, and you have that opportunity for God to do that. I'm going to, as is my tradition, I need to come down there, so give me just a minute. I very much like to come down here and be with everybody. How many is excited about what God's doing in your life? How many knows that every day that you can receive God's joy, His peace, and His empowerment in your life? Every day. But you know, it's up to us by receiving His Word and allowing Him to work in our lives that happens. Amen? We can't just sit back and do nothing and expect all the blessings and everything to happen in our life. There's things that we have to do. And one of the first things we need to do is we need to pray and we need to trust God. And I believe that this isn't my message, but I believe this is something that God's doing in each one of us as He's beginning to take us into a deeper place of prayer and teaching us to pray His Word and to trust Him. Is anybody going, is God working on you to, God teaching you how to trust Him a little deeper? He is me. He's taking me every day. I don't know if I'd say challenged or encouraged that God's showing me some new things and teaching me to go a little deeper with Him and trusting with Him. And it's not always a fun process, but in the long run, it's worth it. What I want to talk about, if I can name it, is called the power of words. And I'm hoping that as I share this with you, because this is fresh to me. And this is something God was sharing with me that I've never heard before. And I'm hoping some of you, that all of you be able to receive some of this, and that it'll empower you to be more effective in your Christian walk, because that's really the goal, isn't it? And if you'll receive this word today, and you'll let God share it with you, and you let God to begin to give you wisdom, revelation, what I believe this will do is it will give you the power to break down strongholds in your life. And I also believe that it'll tear down every hindrance that has hindered you from the presence of God and hindered the blessing of God in your life. And that's God's plan for us. But before we do that, I want to open to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm reading out the New King James, which you'll see up there on the overhead. If it goes up, I can't see it, will be the King James. It'll sound a little different. Ephesians chapter 1. And what I want everybody to do, I want you to read this with, repeat it after me, but I want you to do it in prayer. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1. My pages are sticking together. Pastor was talking a few weeks ago about how we receive things and we understand the Word of God by revelation, and it's by wisdom. If we don't understand the Word of God, we don't receive the Word of God, and we're not empowered to walk the Word of God. Is that right? So in everything we do, we need to receive revelation. So I want you to read this with me, repeat it after me, and pray. Don't just read this. Let it be a prayer of your heart today. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Father, I pray over this message, God, and I pray over this body today. Lord, we just want to be changed in Your presence. As we worship You today, God, we believe that You are changing us, that You are drawing us closer. And Father, the ultimate goal is to be like Christ in everything we do. Father, I pray that we'll see, that our eyes will be open to see, our ears will be open to hear Your Word. And Father, that when we leave this place, we will be completely changed in Your presence, God. Father, I ask Your anointing as I deliver this Word. And Father, may we all receive it according to Your riches and glory. In Jesus' name. For us to be effective, some of the things that need to happen is we have to have strongholds torn down in our life, okay? And that is God's plan for us to be effective, is we have to tear down strongholds. If we have hindrances in our life, we cannot be effective. Is that right? If you're trying to walk into something and if you're trying to get to the other side somewhere and there's a wall and there's no door, you can't get to the other side. And the enemy's plan is to put strongholds in our life, to terrorize us, to put hindrances in our life, and every one of us either have them, have had them, or you're going to deal with them in the future, and we need to understand how to break them down and what God's plan is. Turn to 2 Corinthians, and I don't remember what all is on the overhead. I think I inserted a couple scriptures, Brian, that I didn't give you. You're welcome. 2 Corinthians 10:4. And some of these I'm going to go through rather quickly. I just want to lay a foundation, and then there's going to be points that I'm really going to pinpoint on. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and listen to this, but mighty in God. The weapons that you have are spiritual, and they are mighty in God. None of you are lacking the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The weapons you have are powerful, okay? But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And I'm not going to read the rest, because casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay? Use the weapons that God has given you to cast down and to bring down strongholds. Hebrews chapter 4. And some of these I'm going to go through rather quickly. Say, I am not weak. I have the anointing of God. And I have His weapons. And His weapons are awesome. That's what how I said it. Good, awesome. Thanks, Adam. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the weapons we fight with are not of this world, but they're by the Spirit of God. And it is the word. Most of what I'm going to talk about today is the power of the words and the power of words. And there is a distinction and there's a separation of what I'm going to be talking about. But we know that God's word is above all things, right? God's word is the most powerful force in all of creation, all the universe. There is nothing higher than the word of God. But I guarantee you that we don't understand to all the degrees that we can use the word of God. And there are other words that we've been given authority to use that can hinder the word of God in our life that I'm going to share with you. I want to talk about, as I break this down, I want to talk about names. And first, how do you receive a name? It's got to be spoken, right? You can't receive a name without it being spoken. Its existence comes from a word, right? Okay. You're like, yes, John. Why do I keep that say yes? Okay. I want to talk about what does a name give to the recipient? What's a recipient? The person, thing, or entity that receives a name, right? There are three things specifically that the bearer or the recipient of a name receives. The first thing is its identity. The second thing, or the identity, is who they are. The second thing is its purpose, the reason for its existence. And the third thing, and I want you to remember these things, if you leave here without remembering anything, I want you to remember these three specific things, okay? Number one, as mankind, as the sons and daughters of God, you've received the identity of Christ. You have received the purpose of Christ in your life. The third thing that the recipient receives is authority to accomplish and to fulfill its purpose. Genesis chapter 1. Just to back all this up and to make it make sense. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over the creeping. You know, you're even over creeps. Creeping then that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So as we look at mankind, when we think of the name Adam or mankind, what is the first thing they receive? They receive identity. They're mankind, made in the image and the likeness of God, okay? So every one of you, no matter what you look like, you have been made in the image and the likeness of God. That's your identity. What is your purpose? What does it say? Anybody remember? To have dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creep creeps on the ground, every creeping thing. So your purpose as mankind is to be, to have dominion, to have power, not to be weak, not to be conquered over, but you have been born in the image of likeness of God to rule and reign. Okay? We need to learn as believers how to rule and to reign, how to conquer over disease, how to defeat sickness, how to defeat and utterly destroy lack in our life, every stronghold, every generational curse that has come against you and your family. We don't have to put up with it. And I'm spitting all over the place. That's when I get excited. You know, those fiery preachers, they spit. That's right, to put out the fire. We don't have to allow the enemy to conquer us. We don't have to be defeated. It says that he is under our feet. We are not under his feet. But we live almost on a daily basis that he's got some rule and control over us because we don't really identify with who we are. We need to identify with who we are. We've been given a purpose. Every one of us has been given a purpose. But now how do we walk in the third aspect of that, the authority of God? How do we walk in the authority? Because you can be this, and this might be the reason you were born, but most people don't accomplish their purpose. Many people never fulfill the destiny or the purpose called in their life, usually because we give into weakness. We give into the words of the enemy, and we don't understand that, truly understand, that we're more than just dust. There's a song, "We're just dust in the wind." That's not right. That's not true. I mean, we've been formed out of the dust of the ground, but God breathed his spirit in us, and when that happened, we were given great purpose and authority to be great. I don't remember exactly where the scripture is, but it even speaks in the Testament how we're like little gods. We are little gods. We've been made in his image and his likeness. So you are more than an overcomer in Christ. And I believe that we need to hear that more than anything else. But how do we fulfill that purpose? Through his word. Done. Okay, I close. Let's go. That's it. That's it. We can accomplish everything through his word. Everything. God gets onto me all the time about trying so hard in my flesh. He says, if you would just speak my word consistently. Now, not just on occasion, but consistently. Consistency is the key to our success in being overcomers. We've got to pray daily. We've got to meditate on his word daily. We have to speak his word daily, and that's how we become overcomers. That's how we do it. But it's got to be done by his word. Now, talking about identity, let's go a different route here. We love babies. Think about the enemy and the name that they have been given. Specifically, I'm gonna target one, the spirit of infirmity. It has been given its identity. What is its purpose? Some of you never heard of the spirit of infirmity. It is to bring sickness upon you. Ultimately, hopefully, its purpose is to destroy you and to take rob from you. And if we give it a greater degree, to destroy your entire family and become generational. You ever heard the people say, my granddad died of cancer, my dad died of cancer, I'll probably die of cancer? Well, yeah, they're right. Number one, because they gave it authority to do it. And it became a generational spirit of infirmity. How did it get its authority to do that? As Christians, as believers, you know, we have God's authority, but do the demons truly have authority to work in our life just on their own? No, they don't. But why do we see disease rampant? Why do we see diabetes spread throughout the church? Why do we see cancer affecting the body of Christ? Why do we see these things happen? I can tell you the reason is because we give them authority to do it. Now, how can man have the authority to give that kind of authority? Do we really have the ability to do that? You sure? Why? Who gave it to us? Genesis chapter 2. Well, God spoke to some of these things to me in the last couple of weeks. It really is a wake-up call for me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, not what God would call them. I want you to listen to that. Remember that. Brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Okay? God gave Adam and all of mankind the power to use their own words to create identity, to create purpose, and ultimately to give authority. From the very beginning, did God name every one of those creatures? What did God give man the ability to do? To rule and to reign, to be conquerors, but he gave them the power of their words. Do you think that non-believers have that power? They do. It's the words that come out of your mouth that create the identity of things in your life, the purpose of things in your life, and ultimately the authority of things in your life. If you're ruling with, if you're suffering with disease, if you're suffering with lack, I guarantee you that you're not quiet about it, and you've probably been saying, I'm just in poverty. All these things are going on in my life, and you're empowering it to rule and to reign in your life. Mankind was given that kind of authority. I'll give you an example. You know, in our own households, this happens all the time. We had, I think it was last weekend, I had a bit of a stomach virus that I was dealing with, and I was praying and trying to get through, family of six, you know, in the natural, these things can sometimes spread, but you've got to really come against these things by the Spirit of God. And it had gone from my son to me, I think to Christina and to my wife, and there was just two that hadn't got it yet. And my son said, he said, "Dad, it started with me, and it's going to spread to Caitlin." And I just looked at him and said, you know, I'm not going to ramp get him onto him too hard, but I just said, "Son, that's not faith. That's not what has to happen." But that's what happens all the time, and ultimately she did, because he released his faith into that thing. You know, and we do that all the time. So we identified it, man, dealing with the stomach virus. And its purpose is, man, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to have all of the things that I'm not going to name on this tape. And then we give it more authority by saying, okay, go ahead and finish the household. Why don't you go ahead and target the other two as well? You know, we give it that power and that authority. Has anybody, now don't raise your hands because I don't want to pick on you. But every one of us, or some of us, every year the weather changes, you get sick. Think about that statement for just a minute. So did you all of a sudden give that thing authority that every time the weather changes, you get sick? By the power and of the words that God gave you to the ability to use. Could cancer even exist if man didn't give it a name? Mankind names temporal things, corruptible things. He has the power to do that. God names eternal things. God didn't give the name cancer. God didn't give the name diabetes. We saw something, we saw an ailment, or we saw an issue, and say, okay, this is what we're going to call it, so we gave it in an identity, just like God gave man, called him mankind. Then we say, well, okay, this thing will cause this, and this, and this, and this. Okay, so this is his purpose. He called us to rule and to reign, so just kind of like man. And then all of a sudden, well, this is how we receive it. So all this time, we're going to receive it doing this. So we give it authority and power. That's, if you think about that, I mean, we never thought about the power and the authority we have as mankind to be able to do that. But could it exist? Could it dwell? Could it thrive if we didn't empower it to do it? I submit to you that it couldn't. How many things do we deal with in our life that we have identified, given purpose to, and ultimately given great authority in our lives? Is this making sense? Faith, I want you to remember this. Faith releases authority. Your faith will release the authority for whatever you're believing in to happen. If you're believing cancer is going to rule your body, all you got to do is believe it and speak it, and that faith gives it authority to do its purpose. Just like when we speak healing over somebody, we lay hands on the sick, we do it by faith. And it says faith without works is dead, so we have to use the words of our mouth to release faith. Okay? Which area of faith, or what's your faith, what is your faith going to release? Turn to James chapter 5 real quick. Just trying to get distracted by that silly door. James chapter 5:15. Let's start with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Those are the type of things that we're called to use our faith to accomplish. Okay? But we can use faith in other areas too, as we said before. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Just see what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. For it, by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So faith releases authority. I want to talk about how things are born in our life real quickly. It's interesting how God patterns the way that he works in the way that he created us. I've never seen this before. As a man, as a father, can we just give birth to children? No. It'd be kind of creepy if we could. But I think Arnold Schwarzenegger did in a movie. But anyway, so I get so distracted sometimes. Huh? The words in my mouth. That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. She got me. But in the natural, you've got a father. You've got someone that wants to be a father. They sow the seed, but even though just because they have seed, they can't produce anything. Man, God created it to be that the woman would be a helpmate, and that the man would have the seed, and he would use the woman to give birth to the child, right? Now I'm laying something here. God does the same thing with us. How did he create man? Did God the Father, I want you to think about this. Think about the things that you've read in the scriptures. Did God the Father create man by himself? Okay. He used the same pattern to create man and to give us the reborn birth the same way that he uses natural man and woman to create. The Father sowed his seed. What was his seed? It was his purpose, his will, his desires, his passions for us to have relationship with us. And then he used his word, okay? He used his word, and it was through the word that man was created and the Spirit of God came through. Think about that. Does that make any sense? Who is the word? Jesus. Turn to John. John 1 real quick. Because some of you may not understand this. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Turn to Colossians. Sorry, I'm going fast. Colossians chapter 1. You're welcome. And we're going to start at verse 15 when everybody gets there. Verse 15, He is, actually, you know what, let's back up. Let's go to verse 13 first. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, again, because we're conquerors in Christ, from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is, who is he? Jesus. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now listen to this. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. When I was studying for this and praying for this, I was just laying before the presence of God, and I heard sometimes God speaks to you rather clearly, and other times you hear that small voice or he uses the word. But I was just praying, and he said something to me that shook me, and I hope it shakes you because it'll change your entire thinking. He said, John, I have given you the same access, and listen to this, the same access to my word that I have. Let that sink in for just a minute. I have given you, this is God talking to his creation, I have given you the same access to my word. What did that word do? Created everything that I have. And then he began to show me this process that not even God himself, not even the Father, created mankind on his own. He used the word Jesus. He used Jesus to create everything we see. Think about that. If God the Father will use the word Jesus to create everything, visible and invisible, how much more should we be using his word to break down strongholds in our life, to set free the captives, to completely deliver our family from generational curses that have held them for all these years? We have got to use the word, and God's saying, I gave you access to the word the same way that I do. I was even thinking about this when we're born again. The same thing happens. It's through the Father, through the word, that Jesus gave birth to the Spirit of God that came into man. Isn't that amazing? John chapter 14. Thank you, Father. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, who is he? The Word. That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Colossians 3:3. Wearing at your fingertips. Let's start at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay. Now right here. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is the key right there. Our life is hidden in Christ with God. That gives us the authority to use the word of God for the purposes and the desires of our heart. If you're dealing with lack, can you use the very same word of God to speak prosperity into your life? You can. If you're dealing with sickness of any kind, God's saying, use my word because I gave you complete access to it. Use it the same way I do. Isaiah says, so is the word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return back to me void, but it'll accomplish the purpose for which I sent it to do. That's what God said about his word when he uses it. Can we say the same thing about the word when we use it? that if we pray the word of God, we speak the name of Jesus, whatever we're praying, we need to believe that we have the same access, the same authority that God has to use it so that our prayers are answered when we pray them. Which word are you using and what are you giving birth to? I want you to do just a little bit of a reflection in your life. Because I have been. What are some of the challenges that you're having in your life right now? What are some of the strongholds that you've been beating your head against for many years? What are the sicknesses that your family has been dealing with for maybe years and years? How did those things come in? Who gave them authority to rule and to reign in your life or the life of your family? We did. Because we gave it identity, we gave it purpose, and we gave it authority. So what I want to encourage you today is our words are so much more important. They're not just idle words. The things that we speak out of our mouth truly prepare our path. And the things you speak over your children will prepare their path. We need to make sure we're using the word of God in our lives and in the lives of our children. The great thing is that Jesus was given the name that is above all names. I used to think about that. Why was it so important that he was given a name that was above all names? Because names do what again? I'm really drilling this in. They give identity, they give purpose, and they give authority. So every name that has challenged you, every name that has come against you, realize that in the name of Jesus is above that name. And if we use the name of Jesus, it will strip that thing of its power in our life. It will always have its identity. It will always have its purpose. But we can strip that thing of its power and authority to work in our lives. Amen? Philippians 2. Well, the time goes fast, doesn't it? Philippians 2, we'll start verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now here we go. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. I'm not talking about just the ones that are easy. Every knee should bow. Cancer, you will bow. Disease, you will bow. Every infirmity will bow. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, everything under the earth. What's under the earth? Demonic principalities. They will bow at the name of Jesus, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We have used the name of Jesus as kind of a key. And what I'm asking you today is to look at it a lot differently. It's not a key. Okay? See, what we want this to happen. I'm going, in the name of Jesus, I just speak this. Realize that you are using that the name that is above every name, that has all authority, all power, and that when we are walking in the anointing of God and in the obedience to the Spirit of God, and we have humbled ourselves before God, and we're not just living our own life, but are truly crucified in Christ, when we use that name, it is as God is speaking it himself. This is hard to grasp. But we must pray his will. I want you to just take a minute, and I want you truly to think about things that you need to overcome in your life. And I want you to think about how it has come into your life, how it's had power in his life, and think about today I'm going to make that change. We need to watch our words, because our words, just as mankind made in the image of likeness of God, we have power. We have power to identify, create purpose, and give authority. So we need to repent today of giving those things, those areas of wickedness and the disease and lack and those things, any power to rule in our life, and start using the word the same way that God does. And let's get those things destroyed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for speaking your word today. Lord, I thank you for let this sink in deep into our lives, God. Give us wisdom and understanding that you have a higher calling for us in Jesus. Father, that we're not just lowly and that we don't have much power and dominion, God, but you called us to rule and to reign in Christ. Father, you called us, Lord God, to have all authority and all dominion, Lord God, and to defeat every power of darkness and to set free the captives, Lord God, and to every generational curse be broken. Father, give us an understanding that we have full access to the Word of God that created all things, that loves all things, that delivers all things. Father, I just speak your healing to this body, and not by my words, but by your word. I declare freedom, deliverance. I speak prosperity, love, and peace and joy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.